programming sponsored by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Over 100% financing on auto loans. Where you bank does matter.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
To set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
I am here, child.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction. We come to you every weekday to give you a little bit of help, a little bit of hope on your journey of faith, helping you sort out what God may be asking of you as you journey through your everyday life. Great to have all of you with us today. Let's say hello to our spiritual director, Father Rick Heilman, back with us once again. Father Rick, one of our regular contributors, a priest in the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, where he is pastor of St. Mary's Parish in Pine Bluff, founder of the Knights of Divine Mercy, helping Catholic men discover their own masculine spirituality, also author of the book Church Militant Field Manual, Special Forces Training for the Life in Christ. And Father Rick and I, a couple years ago now, produced a 26-part video series. We say for men only. It's about male spirituality, but we know a lot of you ladies have subscribed to it as well. But it's called In the Trenches with Father Rick. And I also need to mention Father Rick Heilman, State Chaplain for the Knights of Columbus in Wisconsin. Father Rick Heilman, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Chuck.
Well, great to have you back today. We're going to talk about prophecy today and what it means to be a prophet. And we're all called to be a prophet. We'll get into all of that. Open up our phone lines as we do every day. But Father Rick, as you know, we like to start the hour with an opening prayer. Can we take a moment and ask you to lead that for us?
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. We ask you, loving Father, to help us and to be open to your love, to your grace, to your wisdom. Help us to know your will and to do it well. Help us to do all that we can to serve the needs of those around us. We ask you to help us to be mighty warriors of priest, prophet, and king to the world around us. We ask for a special blessing upon any of our listeners who are struggling or suffering in any way. And we pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father Rick Heilman, our spiritual director, talking today about prophecy, but what it means to be a prophet. We'll open up our phone lines here in just a moment, but Father Rick, get us started. What does it mean to be a prophet?
Well, sure. You know, I always try to remind my congregation, but, you know, when I write or speak or anything like that, that, you know, when we were baptized, we were given literal superpowers. You know, we use that kind of language because that's, you know, the comic books and the movies and all that stuff. But literally, we were given a supernatural power or powers to bring God's message to the world. And those are what are called the evangelical. I mean, in baptism, we are. I like to say we are made officers in the Church Militant because we receive the three offices of Christ: priest, prophet, and king. You know, priest is not like the ordained priesthood, but priest really means that, you know, you pray for another person, you you pray for something, and you believe that it's going to happen. Prophet, and we'll get into this more a little more deeply here, but prophet just simply means, you know, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, or Lord, speak through me. You know, let my words be ignited with the power of your grace so that it has an impact on the person I'm speaking to. And then king, just simply means, you know, we want to, by our very lives, you know, we want to impact other people. We want to lead them to Christ. You know, king means lead, but the best king is the one that sets the example, okay, that others find intriguing, find attractive, want for themselves in their lives. And so, you know, you're leading people. And under the power of supernatural grace, these become very powerful when we're spreading the gospel, when we're evangelizing, when we're trying our best to pull people into the flock who have been wandering, and getting them back into that embrace of God again.
Father Rick Heilman, our spiritual director, let's go ahead and open up our phone line, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Toll-free phone number if you'd like to join us on the program today, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But we're talking about what it means to be a prophet and how we are called to do that and to be that, and your experience of that, of being a prophet in your little world. Toll-free number again if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. And just a reminder that our Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. More information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available through our website, relevantradio.com/Forester, the Catholic Order of Foresters. So, Father Rick, when we talk about being baptized, the superpowers, and then, but I think sometimes for me at least, when we put the word prophet, you know, potentially under the umbrella where we live in our faith, that we think, oh, not me.
Right.
Can't do that. That's for somebody else. And, I'm not called to that. But that's, we're all called to this, aren't we?
Right. You know, one of the things I'm noticing is that I sound like Darth Vader right now. I'm emerging from a flu bug, and my voice is down here. Luke, I'm your father. But anyways, so...
Well, you're sounding really good, by the way. Just let me add that. So
my radio voice. Anyways, we're all called to be prophets. Absolutely. We're all given, like I said, that superpower when we receive the three offices of Christ, one of them being prophet. You know, what does it mean to be a prophet? It just means, like, you know, when we speak to someone about what our faith means to us, when we try to explain, you know, what the church is all about, what Jesus is all about, you know, what does it mean for us today, and what does it mean to be in mission for Christ? You know, when we try to explain that to other people, that we make a connection. You know, there's a connection, or the word I used earlier was impact. You know, that it makes people curious, wanting more, more inquisitive. You know, so they start to lean into it a little bit more. And I always tell people, too, you know, let's not get too full of ourselves here, because if we get full of self, you know, there's no room for God. In fact, we're called to empty ourselves or be self-forgetting and then let the Holy Spirit just come in and take over. And so, in other words, we need to pray. And sometimes these situations will arise real quick. So just, you know, do a quick glory be under your breath or something. But what you're doing is you're calling out to God and saying, God, I want to plug in right now. I want your grace, your flow, your river of grace to flow from you through me out into this person that I'm speaking with right now. So ignite the words that I'm speaking to them. And again, we don't need to be great, you know, Hollywood actors or anything like that in order to get the attention of other people. We just simply need to be empowered by God, you know, and then the words have effect. There's an effect to what we're speaking. And I always tell people too, when you can get rid of self, you're in that place of humility, and that humble person is more inviting to other people around us. You know, we're not like sitting there, you know, like, I know this and you don't, and I'm superior to you because I have this information and you don't. Okay, that's the great way to make a disconnection. Mm-hmm. But to just, you know, from your heart to be able to talk about, you know, this is my relationship with Christ, and this is, know, this is what it means to me, and it's everything to me, and this is why, you know, I think Christ started this church, and why it's so important, and everything that He's revealed to us, you know, through sacred scripture and sacred tradition, all this, it's amazing. It's a treasure chest. I can't get enough of. You know, you can see, you know, when you're talking with another people, another person, that you're letting the Lord speak through you, and there's love and peace and joy that's coming through. That's the first three of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. But you're just letting that flow through you in that moment, and all of a sudden the person is going, "This is real. You know, this is something that I see as missing in my life. Tell me more." You know, and so you're being a prophet in that moment. Because why? Because you let go of self. You're not full of self. And you let go and let God speak through you.
Hmm. Father Rick Heilman, our spiritual director, let's take our first break talking today about what it means to be a prophet and your experience of that. Toll free if you'd like to join us when we come back. 888-914-9149. We're taking a break. Stay with us. More of The Inner Life coming up.
What is this slowing down of my day offering me? And then realizing that sometimes that traffic jam is a blessing. That extra 20 minutes in traffic is a rosary.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
You're on two roads, the road to your destination and the road to heaven. For many of you who are brand new listeners on the West Coast, if you download the free Relevant Radio app, you can pray the rosary at any time of the day.
I love Relevant Radio, love the app. I get to pray the rosary every day, so thank you for that.
The Relevant Radio app. Listen to and pray the rosary on your schedule.
Prayer is powerful. This is Father Dave Heaney, and prayer to God through the Blessed Mother is even more powerful. Let's pray right now for an end to abortion in our country. Let's pray 100 million memoraries this year for an end to abortion and the protection of human life, from the moment of conception to natural death. If we pray one memorare an hour, we'll reach our goal by the end of the year. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin, O Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Add your memoraries to the tally at relevantradio.com/mom.
Remember when you were growing up? You'd be playing somewhere in the neighborhood in the summer, then mom would call. You could hear that voice any place. It was special. Well, there's a mom calling to you right now. It's Mary, our Blessed Mother, and tomorrow on Morning Air, Marge Fenelon on how the Blessed Virgin Mary knows your voice and is always waiting to hear from you. Plus, President Trump delivers his first State of the Union address tonight. A look inside the president's comments through the filter of our Catholic faith. Tomorrow at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's Gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors, and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling, she fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat.
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
If you're looking for a little help on your journey of faith, our priests are here for you. Call now, 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. Or email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life today. I'm Chuck Neff, along with our producer, Tim Mersch. And our spiritual director, Father Rick Heilman, one of our regular contributors, a priest in the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, founder of the Knights of Divine Mercy, helping men, Catholic men, discover their own masculine spirituality, and also state chaplain for the Knights of Columbus in Wisconsin. And Father Rick and I produced a 26-part video series a few years ago. You can access that through our website, relevantradio.com. Go to the Inner Life page, and along the right-hand side, you'll see a link to In the Trenches with Father Rick. But one of the segments we did in that 26-part series is what we're talking about today, what it means to be a prophet. And so that's what we are talking about today. And phone lines are open if you'd like to join us, toll-free, 888-914-9149. But the call to be a prophet, and yes, we are all called to be a prophet, as Father Rick said earlier, to be able to say, Lord, speak through me. How does that work in your life? Again, if you'd like to join us, toll-free, 888-914-9149, our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. So, Father Rick, let's head to the phones. And Monica, listening in California, thank you for the call. It's nice to have you on the program today.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling regarding my mother and an experience of her that I shared while taking communion to the homebound yesterday. Can you hear me?
Oh, we sure can.
Okay, good. I was taking communion to the homebound, and I went to the home of a woman who was elderly and had fallen recently. And she was talking about her experience, and so I was sharing with her my mother's experience. And she had been in a nursing home for 11 years and was obviously suffering, you know, she suffered a lot in her life. But anyway, I was sharing with her how that experience inspired me and how she taught me through her suffering. She taught me, and I let her know how valuable that experience was to me and how she can be of value to others around her, the people who help her and take care of her, that they can be inspired by her. And so anyway, she says, you're a very religious person. I said, well, yes, I am religious, but I'm also spiritual. And My mother used to always say when my growing up, whenever she had to suffer or I had to suffer, she would say, offer it up. And that came true in that experience because I asked her one day when she was in the nursing home in her wheelchair, completely crippled and barely able to talk and, you know, just lots of things going on. I said, Mom, would you do this again? Would you be willing to do this if you knew that this suffering would allow one person to get to heaven? And she looked up at me and she said, you betcha.
Yeah. You know,
that touched the woman that I was talking to, and it was like, wow, you know, and I could see it in her eyes that this was affecting her, and just knowing how it affected me, so I felt God's presence in that moment.
That's beautiful. You know, I love our seniors, and I often remind them that you know they have their physical ailments, and many of them can't you know, they're homebound, and you know they feel like, you know, do I have any worth any longer? And I tell them, listen, you know, your prayers right now are one of the most powerful weapons in the world right now. It's like a nuclear bomb. It's so powerful. When you, as you say, offer it up, when you join your sufferings to your prayers, when you attach those to your prayers, those prayers are so powerful. I often ask these seniors who, especially those who are homebound now, I said, please pray for me. You know, please, because your prayers are so mighty right now. We actually started handing out the holy cards to ask our seniors to pray for an end to abortion and to pray a prayer, because they're like the Navy SEALs of prayers right now at their point in their life. And so, you know, are they playing a role? Does their life have meaning? You bet it does. You know, right now at that stage in their life, they are the mightiest prayers of all of us. So, you know, and thanks for relating that to her.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. And just the end note of all of that is I take communion to the homebound because of my mother and the inspiration of that who took communion to her. So.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Monica, God bless you. And Father Rick, we hear that story. You know, we talk about being a prophet, and I think sometimes, well, for me at least, yeah, boy, I got to do that, and I'll do that next week, or I'm going to wish I'd done that differently. But here's a story from Monica. It happened yesterday.
Right.
And I'm just so taken with the immediacy of that. All of us have the opportunity today to be a prophet to whomever we meet on the road in front of us for the rest of this day. It's right in front of us, isn't it?
Yeah, and very much she was using her superpower of being a prophet because, you know, she felt the story of her own mother would have an impact, and it did, on the woman she was visiting. And, you know, that's what really being a prophet is all about, is, you know, just sharing from, you know, the inner recesses of our soul, you know, that we know that this had an impact on me, and so I want to share it with you. You know, why? Because you're trying to help these people to be open more to what God so desperately wants to give them. And like I said, their call to use their priestly role of the three superpowers, priest, prophet, and king, of being mighty prayer warriors, you know. It's a beautiful story exactly what we mean by being a prophet.
Yeah, and do we need to make the point that in the story of when she asked her mother, with all of her suffering in nursing home for 11 years and crippled and in a wheelchair, would you do this again, Mom? And she said, you bet.
Yeah.
But was Mom being a prophet in that moment?
Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, prophet in that she said, you bet, but king. You know, she was letting her life that was now given over for other people, and how that impacted her daughter and someone else who understood what was going on there, you know, that, wow, I mean, she'd be willing to suffer all this if one more soul could get to heaven. You know, that's a mighty, mighty example and impact for other people.
Yeah. Monica, God bless you. Thanks for joining us. We've got to take a break. Father Rick Heilman is our spiritual director, talking today about what it means to be a prophet. If you'd like to join us when we come back, toll-free number 888-914-9149. We'll be right back.
Giving voice to our shepherds.
Relevant Radio.
Bishop Robert Barron.
There's something about thirst that is just devastating. Why? Well, it's the body's way of signaling that it needs something essential and it needs it now. Like a dry, weary land without water, Lord, my soul thirsts for you. Because we need the Holy Spirit desperately and now if we want to live spiritually. See, what corresponds to bodily thirst is this aching of the heart that every one of us feels. Whether we can explicitly name it or not, call it what you want, for purpose, for joy, for satisfaction, for meaning. And everybody listening to me right now has it.
Giving voice to our shepherds. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
If you saw St. Padre Pio and say, okay, spend a day in my shoes, he would probably hit you upside the head and say, you're not paying attention here. Trust, pray, don't worry.
Yeah, I give you a good old Italian smack aside the head.
There you go.
The root of the word worry goes back to Old English, and the word means to strangle. And when Padre Pio says pray, hope, and don't worry, he's telling us not to be strangled by the fears of life.
Wake up to faith and fun. Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
We're coming up on the end of the first month of the calendar year, and perhaps you're wondering, as I am, where does the time go? It doesn't seem that long ago that we celebrated Christmas and began a new year. You might also be wondering, what happened to all those resolutions I made for this new year? Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, and if you made some resolutions for diet or exercise or for prayer and your spiritual life, and you haven't followed through on them, don't worry. And by all means, don't give up. There's nothing magic about all this, as though failing to follow through on a resolution means you should give up trying. After all, isn't making a resolution, or what we might call a firm purpose of amendment, part of the sacrament of reconciliation? I know some people wonder what's the point of going to confession and resolving not to sin, all the while knowing their weakness and tendency to fall back into certain long-standing habits of sin. The point is, we go because we need help. We can't follow God's commandments, which are given for our own good and the common good of every human being, nor can we live a good life on our own, with our own strength. We need God's help, what we call grace. So don't give up. Just ask. Ask today for the grace you need to follow through on your New Year's resolutions and your reconciliation resolutions. Asking for God's help in doing good things is never a prayer that will go unanswered.
For more prayer resources, use the Prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
I've been losing sleep. I've been stress eating.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, do you suffer from overwhelming stress or anxiety? It's remarkable how many people do. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting 40 million adults or about 18% of the population. If you or a loved one struggle with anxiety, join me 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, and I'll connect you with expert analysis and helpful insight. That's right here on Relevant Radio.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me."
The spiritual suffering that many people today experience because they simply don't have faith and they don't have Jesus in their lives.
Relevant Radio contributor, Father Christopher Maher.
What St. John Paul II would call pain of soul, that kind of suffering, it's only a relationship with Christ that gives us meaning and truth and beauty in our lives. Remember, We don't have to figure out what's going on. We don't have to come up with the solution ourselves. In our faith, Christ comes to us. Our Lord came to earth to endure the cross, and he comes into our lives when we endure the cross as well. And John Paul II, talking about the vocation of redemptive suffering, God calls to me in my suffering. I'm not alone, but he's helping me to carry that burden. But then he also will invite me to participate even in the cross of Christ himself. And that's the great mystery of redemptive suffering.
You're never alone.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
This is Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Inner Life Show, or email us innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life today. If you're just tuning in, Father Rick Heilman from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin is our spiritual director on the program today. We're talking about what it means to be a prophet in our respective journeys of faith. And let's make the point again, if you weren't with us earlier, but when we were baptized, we were anointed to be priest, prophet, and king, and that's what we've been talking about. And as Father Rick said earlier in the program, when we talk about being a prophet, we're saying to our Lord, Lord, speak through me. So it's in our words, it's in our deeds, it's in what we do, basically to explain and, you know, witness to our faith. And when we do that, we may not put the label on it, but we are being a prophet. What's your experience of that? Toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149, our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. All right, this is a great story, everyone. Tomorrow is the feast of St. John Bosco. So, Father Rick, I'm just going to leave it at that and let you go with this, because we talk about a prophet, and St. John Bosco, it's exactly what we're talking about today. But the everything else that's going on around this feast day tomorrow is just – it's holy. It's extraordinary. It's a bit unbelievable in so many ways.
Yeah. You know, and let me preempt, too, Chuck, by just – maybe reminding the listeners who I am. I'm a priest who believes in the supernatural power of God. And I believe this is the warfare that we're in right now. As Dr. Alice von Hildebrand said, it's a secular war on the supernatural. Is the age we're living in right now. And I believe in the power of prayer. And so much so that we have had these prayer campaigns. And actually, the first major one was leading up to the election, when we did what was called Novena for Our Nation. And we had, I think it was between 30,000 and 40,000 at that time, people praying together the 54-day Rosary Novena from August 15th up until the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary on October 7th. And many believe a miracle occurred, you know. At least we dodged a bullet of the secular progressives that were bringing their agenda in at a very fast pace. Don't we remember that, grown men were able to share a bathroom with our little girls. I mean, we could go on and on. So anyways, that's where I come from, Chuck. So, and I lean into, I'm not an expert, but I know experts, and I talk with them often, who understand, or at least interpret well, approved prophecies in our church. All right. So that's kind of my, preempt to what I'm about to say. Last year was the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, and many believe, and in fact, Pope Benedict said this in a homily in 2010. He said, "May the 7 years which separate us from the centenary of the apparitions hasten the fulfillment of the prophecy of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary to the glory of the Most Holy Trinity." Okay, so he was, you could tell, Pope Benedict was believing that this 100 years, okay, Pope Leo XIII had his vision back in 1884 that Satan would be given 100 years basically unbound. And don't we know that from, let's call it 1917 to 2017, that there was just this unleashing, beginning with the Communist Revolution that happened right in 1917, you know, the eras of Russia, okay? So for 100 years, and don't we know the decadence and immorality and Roe v. Wade? I mean, you could just go on and on and on what happened in that 100 years. So if one supposes that these approved prophecies are correct, then we have to say, okay, we had 2017, and so there's this binding of Satan that's going on, and the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that is emerging. So what happened last year? On 2 days before the October 7th Our Lady of the Rosary, when we were completing the 54-day Rosary Novena, that was when that Harvey Weinstein thing occurred in Hollywood. And then from that, there was just one after another of this light being shown, this exposing, okay? Now we're in the middle, aren't we, this week, of seeing corruption in government at the highest places being exposed right before our eyes. All of this that was able to move unabated, okay, under the cover of darkness for so long, there's this huge light being shown on it. All right. So follow me. So here we are now emerging from this 100 years. And I was made aware, a lot of people know of St. John Bosco's classic dream of the two columns. Real quick, what it just means is the ship that has the Pope on it is led through stormy seas, it's being fired upon, and it's trying to be moored to two columns. One has the Blessed Sacrament on top of the column, and the other one has Our Lady on the other column. The objective is to get moored to that, to steady the ship, the bark of Peter, as it's called, the church, between those two columns. Well, what do we know about the Blessed Sacrament and Our Lady? These point to supernatural realities. I mean, we believe God, body, blood, soul, and divinity, comes to us, is made present, real presence, on that altar every time we go to Mass. I mean, for people who don't believe in the supernatural, we're a bunch of idiots. And then look at our Blessed Mother. You know, she's our advocate. I always call her, she's our defense attorney. Okay? She stands with us before the throne of God. But we're accused of worshiping her, you know, like she's some kind of God or something like that. So this becomes then an obstacle for so many people, the real presence, relying on Our Lady as an advocate before the throne of God. You know, and so, you know, we have to believe in the supernatural to believe in these things. All right, so now here we are in 2018. Now, there's another lesser-known dream that St. John Bosco had, and part of it, and I'll share with it, it's just two sentences here. I'll share it with you right now. There shall come a violent hurricane, iniquity is at an end, sin shall cease, and before two full moons shall have shone in the month of flowers, the rainbow of peace shall appear on the earth. Throughout the world a sun so bright shall shine as never seen since the flames of the cenacle until today, nor shall it be seen again until the end of time. Okay, now, two full moons, that's what's called a blue moon. When two moons, full moons appear in 1 month, that's called a blue moon. It's somewhat rare, it's not terribly rare, okay? But in this particular month, there's not only a blue moon, but there's a super moon. That means the moon is closer to us. I think they said it's going to be 14% larger, it's going to seem. And then not only that, but it's also a blood moon. So a blood moon is actually the name given when a lunar eclipse happens. The shadow of the sun comes on the moon, and it has a reddish tone to it, and it's been nicknamed then a blood moon. So now we have tomorrow night a super blue blood moon. Now, interestingly enough, that's the feast of St. John Bosco, okay? And what's interesting about this is there's also a very rare occurrence of two blue moons in the same year. The second blue moon, okay, that occurs in this year happens in March. Now, in March The blue moon happens on March 31st. Now, what's interesting about that date is that that is the Easter Vigil, all right? But here's what also is interesting about it. We are praying with over 50,000 people right now, Nineveh 90 for life, okay? 90 days from January 1st, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother God, until, get this, March 31st, where we're all planning on our 90th day to do a Marian consecration together. All right. Now, in the midst of all this that's going on right now, there's incredible things happening. Chuck, just in this first month since we've been praying, listen to this. This is what's going on. President Trump was the first president to address the March for Life of any president directly. President Trump proclaimed on January 22nd, National Sanctity of Human Life Day. The U.S. House passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. We'll get back to that one in a second. The Senate confirmed pro-life Alex Azar as the new HHS Secretary. The Senate approves Trump nominee pro-life Governor Sam Brownback as Religious Freedom Ambassador. Trump administration creation of a conscious and religious freedom division of Health and Human Services to protect the religious freedoms of medical professionals. Cecile Richards stepped down as Planned Parenthood head. The Senate voted, I'll get to that one in a second, and then President Trump clears the way for states to defund Planned Parenthood. That all happened just in the last, 30 days since we've been praying this Nineveh 90 for life. Now, what happened yesterday is seemingly not good news. The Senate voted down the Pain Capability of Unborn Child Protection Act. Okay, that seems like a loss, and it is. Let's not say it isn't. But here's what it is doing. This light, this bright light, is shining ever more brightly on these forces of death and darkness, okay? And all over the internet right now are people absolutely horrified that a five-month-old child in the womb who is fully formed, can feel pain, is literally torn with the tweezers or whatever that the surgeon uses to pull limbs off of this child who can feel pain. One by one, this child is torn limb from limb. This is horrific. And what we're seeing is a bright light being shown on this kind of evil as never before. As never before, all of this corruption is being exposed. A light is being shown on it. All of this sexualization and objectification of women done by Hollywood. You know, we just had the Academy Awards.
The Grammys.
Yeah, but before the Grammys, we had the Academy Awards, where the year following. They're exposing everything, the women. This year they were wearing conservative dress because but the point is that all of this is being exposed. Everyone is being horrified by it, and it seems very prominently that we are heading in a whole new direction where the Immaculate Heart of Mary is being triumphant over the powers of evil that ran unabated for all these many years. That's the hope that I have in my heart right now. And it seems like God wants to get our attention about St. John Bosco with this super blue blood moon tomorrow night on his feast day, so that we give attention to the dreams that were given to him, considered prophecies, approved by the church, okay? And so God is trying to show us something. And listen, we are in right now one of the fiercest battles that we've ever seen in the history of humanity, especially in the spiritual realm, okay? But that's because evil is fighting back like never before, because it sees the writing on the wall. It sees, you look at things like the Women's March. Let's call it what it was. This was a march to maintain the ability to kill babies in the mother's womb. I mean, people can call it whatever they want, but there's this fierce rebellion going on right now in the world, but in the spiritual realm, it's a war like we've never seen before, and it's playing itself out right now, but in this period of time, and interestingly enough, leading up to March 31st. And this second blue moon predicted, and I'll end with this. What's interesting about March 31st, okay, is remember the dream said, before two moons shall have shown in the month of flowers. Well, what is March? It's the first day of spring, okay? Mm-hmm. And here it is. The first blue moon is on its feast day, and it's a super blood blue moon, you know, and the second one that we're supposed to pay attention to is on Easter Vigil. You know, that's when the harrowing of hell occurs, you know, that Christ goes down to bring up, you know, those who have been waiting for him. You know, and on that day, we're calling people to make that consecration to Jesus through Mary.
Father Rick Heilman, our spiritual director on The Inner Life today, talking today about what it means to be a prophet. And as Father Rick has been talking the day before, the feast of St. John Bosco. And I guess maybe the obvious question here, Father Rick, because one of the things I wanted to talk about, if we're going to be a prophet in our world, man, oh man, do we need to be courageous. But what's the message for us today who are serious about our faith, or really maybe we're not as serious as we should be, but what's the message for us today in terms of being prophets, challenge? What's the message
for
us?
What should we do? Yeah, yeah. Listen, God is raising an army. Do you want to be part of this or not? And here's how you enlist, okay? You simply get yourself out of the way. You go up inside. Humility, obedience, trust, okay? You humble yourself enough to say, I don't have all the answers. I look for the revelation of God through sacred tradition, sacred scripture, to show me the way, okay? So there's this humbling. Obedience is I have no problem with everything the church teaches. I'm not just sitting here making up my own religion and calling it Catholic, okay? I adhere to everything the church teaches. As Jesus would say, not even the smallest portion of a letter of the law, you know, do I deny, okay? And those who teach it, you know, he warned against them that they're destined for eternal damnation, you know, but no, I obey, okay? And then I trust. Trust is, listen, that's the belief in the supernatural power of God, that when I pray, that God will listen and he will answer my prayers. I've seen tons of miracles, but so has a lot of people. I'm not here to, you know, build me up for a future canonization. What I'm trying to do, Chuck, is to tell everyone that when you believe, when you have faith, when you pray, that things happen, you know, that miracles occur. You know, I think we've gotten, you know, so conditioned by this secularism that's gotten into the world and into our church, you know, that we pray and we go, well, you know, maybe something like that. No, you pray with faith. I always remind people, when people ask Jesus to heal them, he would get in their face and say, do you believe I can do this? And then when he gave them the miracle and they were healed, he said, it was because of your faith that this was done. And that plays itself out in all of salvation history, that prayer with faith, with trust, okay, with confidence, that this prayer will be answered is mighty, and God is waiting for that. It's as if we're going to offer this prayer to God. God from heaven, from his throne, is looking down. He's going, do you believe I can do this? Yes, God, I believe you can do this. You know, so we're, Chuck, the answer to your question is, what should we do right now? We got to get as close to God as we can possibly get. That begins with confession. You got to get rid of everything that stands in the way, every obstacle there is. I always tell people, you're never made perfect in confession, but you're made perfectly pure. And now the Holy Spirit can invade your soul, go to confession, go often, okay? We have little stains that begin to fill our soul with ourself, okay? And don't leave enough room for the very power of God. Or we have the mortal sin that kills the soul, okay? That makes no chance for any invasion of the Holy Spirit. We got to get to confession, get there often. And we've got to follow the sacraments, precisely the teachings of the church, and do all that we can to be as close to God as we can possibly be. Now he can use us. Now he can trust us, okay? We're loyal to him. You know, we're a loyal soldier that is following orders, all right? A commanding officer can use that soldier, all right? That when he barks a command, he knows that soldier will do it precisely the way he wants him to do it. That's what we're supposed to do right now. That get as close to you as you can to God. He's raising an army, and especially now when this fierce battle is going on, as evil is kicking and screaming, you know, to protect the evil it owned for all these years, okay? We've got to be strong, and especially it begins with prayer. If God ignites your words, awesome. If God ignites your very life as a powerful impact to other people, fantastic. But you got to get on your knees and pray, and you got to believe that your prayers will be heard and answered. That's what these 50,000 people in Nineveh 90 are doing right now. And again, please, everybody can join Nineveh90forlife.com. You can jump in and be a part of this if you want.
And so, Father Rick, we've only got a few minutes before we need to say goodbye today, but just picture thousands and thousands of men and women, we know we have some kids listening as well, to the Inner Life, and if you could look them eyeball to eyeball right now, can you just talk to them about how important they are, how important it is that they, that all of us, that he or she be that mighty warrior that you're talking about, and being that mighty warrior in whatever's in front of us. It might be in traffic today, just being kind. It might be speaking some nice word to a store clerk today, but it's right in front of us. And sometimes I think we think it's bigger than us, but it's right here, isn't it?
It is. And if we think that we're not qualified, remember, God chose sinners. He chose the humble. He rarely chose a Ivy League professor or a millionaire. Okay, he chooses. And why does he choose the humble and the meek? Because they are the ones that can follow orders the best. Okay, and he wants those. In other words, they're not so full of self that God can't use them. That's why he chooses them. Somebody who is so repentant of the sin that they've had in their past life, God can use that because now they're so grateful that they have been redeemed and they're in God's army that they will follow his orders precisely. That's what God wants right now. I want to make one last pitch before I run out of time here, Chuck, too. I have an amazing speaker coming to my parish on February 9th, Matt Walsh. Right now he's on the internet, and he is shining a huge light on what happened yesterday with these senators who voted down the Born Alive Protection Act. I mean, again, a 5-month-old torn limb from limb. It's atrocious. But this is what he's got. Hundreds of thousands of followers. Millions of people listen to him every month. He's online mainly, and he agreed to come to my parish, and he's going to be talking about how, you know, the Satan's greatest tool right now is to not arouse our courage, okay? And it's going to be an amazing talk. Please put it on your calendar, February 9th. He'll be talking at 7 p.m. We're going to have adoration at 6 p.m. here at St. Mary in Pine Bluff. Please, 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 everybody come. It's going to be an amazing night with an incredibly powerful speaker.
Yeah, and let's put our spiritual antenna up tomorrow in terms of the Feast of St. John Bosco, but January 31st. This is a rare event, a super blue blood moon. We don't see it very often, but just in light of this happening on the Feast of St. John Bosco, there's a lot of, what shall we say, interesting things going on in our world, Father Rick.
There is. And God seems to want to shine a light on John Bosco and what he revealed through him. And that at least that's the interpretation I have. And, it's so true in our times right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so please, everyone, say some special prayers, especially for our president tonight at the State of the Union address.
Father Rick Heilman, our spiritual director, we've got to wrap things up. And Father Rick, as you know, we like to close the hour with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Rick Heilman, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on the program today. And thanks to all of you and our listening audience today for taking a little bit of time in your day to join us on The Inner Life. Stay tuned now. Coming up next, Go Ask Your Father, Monsignor Stuart Swetland. And as you head out today, make this day a great one. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.